Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Filling up this morning, 296. Price to beat for a gallon of gas when you pull over. More on your money at WTAM.com. Keyword money. Scooter Reese, executive producer alongside. You got like the obituary report this morning.
Yeah, they say they go in threes, but not you wanted it, especially the one in Chicago.
Wow.
I don't, 64 times?
Guy was shot as soon as he got out of jail? Is that right?
Yeah, that's a little fishy there.
And a few names you will know have passed. So we'll get to that with Scooter here coming up. The death report. Traffic and weather together on the 10s first. Can you beat that, Pat Butler? Do you have any happy news for us here?
I don't know.
Right.
That could be a regular feature,
Taco
though.
Taco Tuesday. No, it's not going to be a regular feature. No, we'll decide that right now.
Yes,
yeah.
That is the good news. Taco Tuesday. Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 5:20. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 AM at 106.9 FM.
Weather today about like yesterday. Cleveland 3 News meteorologist Holly Stranhope says maybe a few more peaks of sunshine, but still widely scattered showers, thunderstorms. Some of them possibly severe, so probably at some point today you'll run into some rain. 80 for a high. 70 tonight. Wednesday, stray shower, clouds, and 80s. I've got 70 right now at your severe weather station. Good morning.
What you want and need to know to start the day. Wills and Snyder, Cleveland's Morning News on Cleveland's News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Buffalo Bill, Night Cork, Charles Robinson passed away. Charlie Robinson yesterday. Scooter Reese producing that particular story, Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Night Court was kind of awkward. It was different.
I enjoyed
it.
Yes, he used to come on at 9:30 on the big Thursday.
The big Thursday NBC.
And it started with me in junior high getting into high school.
Night Court.
But just so you know, Charlie Robinson, judicial clerk for Judge Harry Stone, he was not the original. He was never the original when the series first started. Actress Karen Austin was, who played John Candy's wife in Summer Rental. So, because when the series first started, John Larroquette was there, and so was Bull, Richard Mull, and then Selma Diamond was there, and then Harry Stone. But Mac was not part of the original. He came in after Karen Austin left. So, but then he stayed to the end of the series.
TV trivia at a bar. I want you on my.
I'm great table. At that. I'm excellent.
So, right, just so he passed.
Great.
75.
Charlie Robinson. Oh, he was hysterical on that show. He was great.
And Mr. Wonderful, huh?
Paul Orndorff.
71?
I watched Paul Orndorff wrestle a couple times at the Richfield Coliseum front row. Got to see a steel cage match with him. He was a big boy. Good wrestler. Hogan's nemesis.
Orndorff. Yeah.
Right, when Hogan first got the belt, it wasn't Piper. Orndorff was one of the guys. After he beat the Sheik, it was Orndorff for a while. And then I've seen Hulk fight Orndorff at the Richfield Coliseum before. But rest in peace, Mr. Wonderful. He was a good, great wrestler.
Mr. Wonderful, dead at 71. And another obituary out of Chicago. This is strange. Guy was released from the Cook County Jail, made famous in The Fugitive, of course.
Of course.
And a few minutes later, guy is gunned down, shot 64 times, like ambushed.
Just walking right out of there. Well, obviously, 64 times, that's a hit. They were waiting for him. Now, my question is that... did the law enforcement kind of know? Do you think?
No.
You don't think this is an inside job?
No, you wouldn't release a guy in something like that.
And 64 times?
No. Strange. It's a strange story, but I don't think law enforcement.
It just sounds fishy, man.
Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. You can see all that. By the way, it's National French Fry Day. Who has the best French fries?
Five Guys.
Five Guys?
Yes.
If you got Five Guys or McDonald's, you go Five Guys.
Oh, of course, Five
really?
Guys. Yes,
they are good. I don't know.
You know, I love French fries, and I got a lot of different kinds that I like. But you know, there's sometimes I just need a McDonald's.
The McDonald's thing,
I just need it.
It's addictive. There's something in there. But Five Guys is good though,
because they cook them in peanut oil. That's a difference. Yeah, big
National
difference.
French fry day. All right. Hey, Dr. Death, thanks much.
Oh, you're welcome. That's a good wrestling name. That's a great wrestling name.
Dr. Death, okay. All right, all those stories up there for you. Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Thanks, Scooter.
You're welcome.
Coming up in 5, normally you see protests or people in the streets of Cuba. They're cheering communism. What a great thing it is. Hasn't been that way the last couple of days. They're complaining about a lot of things, catching a lot of people and their attention. We'll talk about that some with our Rory O'Neill on it on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Sports now, 5:15, Mike Snyder.
Hi, Bill. Major League Baseball's All-Star Game tonight in Denver. The Indians will be represented. Tito Francona, Jose Ramirez, and Shane Bieber on hand. Tito will be a coach for the American League. Jose will be among the reserves and will play. Now, Shane Bieber will not play. Of course, he's rehabbing that shoulder injury, but certainly he was excited to be named an All-Star.
When Tito told me, I was pretty surprised. You know, I didn't necessarily expect it with, you know, not playing right now, but that's kind of what makes it mean so much more for me. Being selected, it's always a privilege and an honor, and I'm excited. And yeah, I've never been in Denver, so it'll be a good time.
Yeah, it really shows you how good he was before he went down. But he's on hand tonight. We'll be introduced. Now, the Indians may be changing their name, but they're not changing their location. A report by The Athletic says the Indians are inching closer to an extension on their Progressive Field lease, which expires in 2023. And on speculation that the team could possibly make a move, the report says that owner Paul Dolan has told employees the team is not going anywhere. Now, last time there was a home run derby, it was here in Cleveland 2 years ago when the Mets' Pete Alonso claimed the title. Now, there was no All-Star game last year, so could he repeat?
Six wins it, and now it's five that will win it. Another massive shot from Alonso. Four to win it, like a countdown. Three to win it. Two to win it. He's not missing. As Alonso comes out of a timeout and walks it off. What a finish. Alonso defends his title. The 2021 Derby champion put the belt on again.
Yeah, he is really a machine when it comes to home run derby. He defeated the Orioles slugger Trey Mancini, who's quite a story in himself. A year ago, he was battling colon cancer, and there he was in the finals. Shohei Ohtani, who was the favorite going in, was knocked out in the first round by Juan Soto. Now, Ohtani will be the main story, at least entering tonight's All-Star game, as he's the American League starting pitcher and the leadoff hitter as he leads the majors with home runs. Max Scherzer will get the start for the National League. Basketball men's U.S. Olympic team really struggling. They lost to Nigeria over the weekend. Last night, they lost to Australia 91-83. Now, these are exhibition games. Kevin Love did not play in last night's game. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, WTAM.com.
Have some fun tonight. The Foundry Social High Voltage Karting in Medina. Traffic and weather together on the 10s at 520. Here's Pat Butler.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, if you were injured because of medical malpractice, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. So far this morning, a pretty decent highway drive, everything light and moving up to speed. There was an overnight accident being investigated, still closing St. Clair and between East 131st and East 134th, and repair work still blocks off West 130th at the railroad tracks in between Brook Park Road and Hummel. This report is brought to you by Conrad's Tire Express and Total Car Care.
Did you know that tires purchased from Conrad's include everything you need to get the maximum life out of your new tires?
And right now at Conrad's, get up to $200 back on a set of four select Goodyear tires when you use your Goodyear credit card.
Conrad's!
Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 5:30. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
Cleveland 3 News weather for your day. Meteorologist Holly Strano.
Good morning, Bill. Partly sunny, scattered showers, storms today. Some could be strong. Once again, we're around 80. Upper 60s overnight. Can't rule out a stray shower or storm tomorrow. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies, low 80s for highs.
70 your severe weather station. Trending stories we're following for you this morning. Here's Rob Bailey.
Thank you, Bill. University Hospital's confirming an error involving two patients and one kidney. A former Nickelodeon star sends to 2 years probation in a Cuyahoga County courtroom. The FDA is going to start attaching a warning to Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccines about an increased risk for a rare neurological condition. And the suspect in a decades-old Cleveland rape case is now in police custody.
President Biden heads to Philadelphia today. Why? In a minute. Bring in Rory O'Neill now. Story out of Cuba. These images, thousands of Cubans taking to the street. Rory, good morning. Normally, if you see this, they're chanting how great communism is, but that's not the case this time.
Huh? Right. We haven't seen protests like this really in decades, maybe unprecedented since the Castro takeover. Really, and we're trying to see how long these protests will last and whether or not this really is the movement that will finally bring change to Cuba. certainly there's plenty of support here in the U.S., the president voicing his support of the people who took to the streets on Sunday. Although it's tough to see just how widespread a lot of these protests are, the Cuban government pretty much turned off the internet.
The epidemic, economic crisis, that's pretty much what's concerning the protesters in Cuba, Rory?
Well, right. Clearly, it's been decades of communism, but the pandemic has really made things much, much worse. There's almost no medicine. Food is hard to come by. You know, there's no travel or tourism in Cuba either. Now, granted, we've had an embargo from the U.S. for decades, but most of the rest of the world treats Cuba with normally. So, you know, you will have Canadians and Brits travel to Cuba for vacation. Well, that hasn't been happening because of COVID, so their economy is being hit very hard. That is one cash-strapped island.
And finally, historically, of course, the government has been propped up by other communist governments, but they are fewer, and most of them are broke.
Right. They're just about as bad off. Venezuela, now chief among them, one of the last big supporters of that island. And really, it is that these countries are simply running out of money. The system of government is not working, and the pandemic has just exacerbated things. Supply chains couldn't be tighter.
Rory O'Neill on Cuba this morning. Thanks, Rory.
Thanks.
Baseball's Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game, a $100 million boost to Georgia's economy until the radical left woke crowd took it all away.
That radical left. Let's bring in Michael Bauer on it. Major League Baseball's All-Star break at the Home Run Derby last night, the game tonight. Mike Snyder got more on that in sports coming up. But this ad that ran last night, I guess it's going to air again tonight, putting the word back out there, this was supposed to be played in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, this is a reminder. And first of all, if you saw it last night, good for you, because I don't remember seeing it, and I didn't drink watching the Home Run Derby, so if it was out there, it just wasn't memorable enough for me to recall. But it aired last night during the Home Run Derby. It will air again tonight. There's a second commercial along with it that will be running during the All-Star Game, and this new political attack ad is hoping to remind viewers, look, the game you're watching, it wasn't supposed to be happening in Denver, Colorado. It was supposed to be happening in Atlanta, Georgia. At least that was the plan. And the commercials paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee, hearkening back to the spring when outcry mounted over these new restrictive voting laws engineered by Republican lawmakers in Georgia. And then Republicans are pointing to, and you'll see this in the commercial again tonight, that corporations, including Major League Baseball, came under intense pressure to speak out against those laws, and thus Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred announced in April they were going to move the game to Denver. So this new ad focuses on the economic impact of the move, blaming the radical left woke crowd, and specifically Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, a Democrat. This is a serious part of the Senate Republicans' campaign to take back Georgia's Senate seats, both of which went to Democrats in that dramatic runoff in January, you might recall. But because Warnock was elected to fill a seat previously vacated by the retirement of former Senator Johnny Isaacson, he will be facing a reelection campaign in 2022 here. So this is sort of the early, more public element of what it is a focus and an attack here for the midterm elections. But let's be clear about this. This is about the midterm elections here. So while that controversial law added a variety of restrictions to absentee voting, including new ID requirements for absentee voting, strict rules on drop boxes, and new powers for the state election board, supporters say it also expanded early voting access for some counties. But we also know the U.S. Department of Justice announced last month that they're going to be suing Georgia over these new restrictions, saying that they target black voters. So there's still a bunch of controversy over the voting law. We've seen other states that have begun to implement their own types of laws there, and even people in Texas walking out when they're supposed to be voting on all of that. But Commissioner Rob Manfred, going back to April when he made the decision to move the game, said Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions to the ballot box, which to me doesn't sound like they were forced into anything, but I don't know if they're going to have any say tonight at their All-Star game.
Finally, Michael, this is on the president's agenda today. He'll be in Philadelphia talking about it. He said back in March that he, quote, strongly supported the move to Denver for the game.
Yeah, exactly. You've seen a number of companies who say that, too, and a number of baseball players. I mean, it wasn't just Major League Baseball doing it on their own. They checked in with individual players and the Players Alliance, an organization of black players formed after the death of George Floyd last year. So they had a number of people in support of that within their own organization and shifted to make that move to Denver.
Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks much.
You got to stay safe, Bill.
Yeah. As we're reporting this morning, a mess up over at UH involving a kidney. Cleveland 3 News' Austin Love checks in from there this morning. So what's the story here?
Yeah, hey, Bill. It's a really scary situation, also a really bizarre situation that took place here at University Hospitals, where a kidney was put, was supposed to be a transplant, and the transplanted kidney was put into the wrong patient. We talked to University Hospitals yesterday, who confirmed this situation to us yesterday, and now they're offering their apologies, of course, to the families and the patients that were involved in this. They wrote in a statement in part that we're dismayed that an error took place, resulting in one patient receiving a kidney intended for another person. There is good news here is that the kidney was compatible and the patient is now recovering. But I mean, in the wake of all of this, the UH is conducting this investigation and have placed two of its caregivers on administrative leave pending the outcome of the review. And they've also been working with the United Network for Organ Sharing. They take place of all of the organ transplants that take place nationally. And they're working with them right now to review the situation and understand what led to the error and to also make sure that this really never happens again. But talk about some of the worst fears that you have going into surgery and then something like this happens. Very bizarre, but also very rare. After talking with the chief operations officer for Life Bank, she says that, 99.99% of the time this doesn't happen, but this fell through the cracks, of course, and now just trying to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
So thank goodness it was a compatible kidney. Both patients are okay. The one is still waiting on one then, right?
Yeah, the one patient is still waiting on one, and then the one that received the wrong one, and thank God it was compatible, because, I mean, there would be a whole other mess if it wasn't, but, thankful for that, for sure.
Cleveland 3 News, Austin Love, set up over at UH this morning for us. Austin, thanks much.
Thank you, Bill.
Entertainment news, names, notes trending this morning. Jason Nathanson with a couple things before we get to sports here.
Emmy nominations out this morning.
Right, y'all do ties.
Ted Lasso, among the new names we could hear up for the top categories, alongside Bridgerton, Mayor of Easttown, The Queen's Gambit, and mainstays including The Crown and The Handmaid's Tale. The Emmys will air live on CBS September 19th. Today, also the 20th anniversary of Legally Blonde.
Going to Harvard is the only way I'm going to get the love of my life back.
The Reese Witherspoon comedy, now iconic, but star Luke Wilson tells me at first he thought it would just be another romantic comedy.
You know, I really wasn't taking it that seriously.
Then he saw the kind of character Witherspoon was creating and realized he needed to step up his game.
And I was like, this is like a Saturday Night Live sketch. And like, she's really like committed to this. It was like, to me, it was like, you know, a Nicolas Cage type character.
A third Legally Blonde film is in the works. Paris Hilton is getting a cooking show on Netflix.
Why'd it have to be snakes?
And acting legend Harrison Ford is 79 today. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Paris Hilton cooking show. All she says is, that's hot. That's hot, right? That's hot. That's ready. That's
really
hot.
Well, if she can boil water, anybody can cook.
Whatever. Okay, Fugitive. Harrison Ford birthday, right?
79 years old.
79 today.
That's all you need
great
to know.
Movie.
The
great
Fugitive.
Movie. So many great scenes in there. That's one of those when you're flipping through on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh,
see
yes.
And see where it's at.
Gotta leave it on. Gotta leave it on.
Can I tell you? Pick me up a chocolate donut with some of the
sprinkles.
You know, you go way back. The TV series was very good. David Jansen was it,
yes,
Scott, right?
David Jansen, yeah. Yes. The Fugitive. Absolutely.
There was nothing quite like that. At its time, where, you know, like it continued, you know, you binge watch these mysteries and so forth. Back then, that was like, I think, really one of the first kind of where you continued the theme. It was a different story, but the theme was always there week to week.
Is that when you got up and turned the channel?
Those were the days, Bill.
Terry Pluto and Fox.
Sorry, I digress. Okay. Yeah, I knew you had to go there. I knew you did.
You didn't have a remote?
Yeah. No, there were no remotes.
Not back
the
then.
Remote was like,
you
had
three stations. You had 8, yeah. 5, and 3.
43, sometimes a little fuzzy, and 61, and, you know, you get that antenna going.
Little Mikey, could you get up and turn the channel, please?
All right, that's
Sports
enough.
Brought to you by Arslanian, bro.
I opened the door for that. I did, and Wills went right in, didn't he?
Let's talk some Tribe at the All-Star break. Bring in Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Terry, good morning.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
I got a list, and let me start with your post. Boy, guys, the Tribe needs some pitching, so why not just draft every pitcher you can, I guess, right, Terry?
Well, it's a good way to find one or two.
Absolutely, Terry. And their track record of developing is very impressive, as we all know.
That seems to be their approach. I mean, they claim that we took the best player available or whatever, but you don't take 10 pitchers and 11 picks unless you set out to, let's get a whole bunch of pitching right now. This is supposed to be a good draft in pitchers. We're really good at college pitchers, so let's be what we're really good at. And remember two things. Number one is if these guys come along as you expect, that means you see them in 3 years, not 3 months. Secondly, you can always trade them.
Exactly. And I know you like the number one pick, Gavin Williams. And he may be a little further along. You could see him in less than 3 years up here.
Yeah, that's very possible. And Dan O'Dowd, who used to be the assistant GM here and then later ran the Rockies, he's been working for the MLB Network for years. I mean, he just raved about the guy. It's not that he has any stake in what the Indians do. But also O'Dowd has told me in the past that the Indians are probably the best at developing these, taking these college pitchers and making them into something. Because when you actually, if you look at the heart of the rotation right now, you know, Plesac was a 15th round pick. Part of that was he was coming off Tommy John elbow surgery. Bieber was a 4th round pick. Savali was a 3rd round pick. So they don't even have to get these, you know, the elite number 3 pitcher overall taken. They get these guys. They have a way of training them. I wish we could see them do that for the hitters. But I like having a whole bunch of pitchers.
Absolutely. When you like, well, Pete Franklin used to say, when you think you have a lot of it, go get more, right?
Go get more, yeah. And also, it's something you can really, you know, you can really trade. What has allowed the Indians, whatever hitters they have kind of picked up over the years, for the most part, with the exception of Lindor and Ramirez, whom they had signed. Lindor's a draft pick. Jose came for $50,000 out of the Dominican. Have been guys that they traded for. You know, that would be nice if Bobby Bradley began to hit a ton of home runs. Would be a guy that they actually signed, drafted and signed. And I want to say he goes all the way back to 2014 when he was signed. I'd have to look that up. It's 14 or 15.
Terry, they had a great weekend, albeit against the Royals, but certainly after that 9-game skid, it was an exciting weekend the way they did it. Where are you today in terms of the trade deadline drawing near as you look at this team, as they had a little resurgence at the end of the week?
It doesn't change my big view of it. I thought they were a 500 team to begin with, and I sort of think that's what they are. If I knew that right after the All-Star break they were going to come out with Bieber and Savali and Plesac all in the rotation, I might feel differently about they could go out and get a bat or two of that. But, you know, Bieber hasn't thrown a baseball yet.
Right.
And Savali, they said something about he was throwing like 50 feet, but he's wearing a splint on that finger that's sore or something. In other words, these guys are not close. It's nice to see Plesac come back. Without that, you're not going anywhere this year. I mean, you could overachieve and be around 500, and that would be great. So they want to trade Hernandez. That's fine with me. Play one of the kids a second. You know, somebody would want Rosario. Now he's got this abdominal injury or whatever it is. And some people kind of mock me where I wrote, well, they could tell them I'll dump these guys and save the money for next year. But why not? Say, okay, I'm going to take $3 to $4 million off the payroll for the second half of this season, and I expect it to be part of the budget for next season. And really, it's not like Paul Dolan are going to go, what? If you're Paul Dolan, you can't turn around and lie to Chris Antonetti. If you tell them, fine, we're going to do that, they'll do it.
Right. There's your budget. There's what you got to do for
budget.
The future.
That's
there you
like
go.
Now I'm going to save some more cash for a car next year, that kind of thing.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Terry Pluto. Talking a little tribe at the All-Star break with us this morning. Terry, thanks much.
Take care, guys.
Job market, trying to find people. You know, recently, a lot of summers, teenagers, college age, they say they can't find jobs. Boy, not this year. Almost 40% of the hires in June were actually in that age group, teens and college age.
And now, 5 good minutes.
The job market, some advice for you and your career. Casey Haston joins me. Got a great podcast, by the way. We Are VIP podcast. Does a lot of recruiting for execs. Want to spend a few minutes with her on this whole job situation. Casey, thanks for your time. Good morning.
Thank you, and thanks for plugging our podcast.
Absolutely. No, I checked out a couple of them. Well, let me ask you something. For I mean, you do a lot of executive search. It seems like we're seeing a problem in the service industry. Those jobs, face-to-face jobs, you can't find people. And so that middle manager's got to work even more. Is that going up the ladder? Are you seeing that stress at higher levels in companies too?
Absolutely we are. So my wheelhouse is accounting and finance. And so right now, every candidate we have is getting probably 3 to 5 offers.
Really?
Yeah. Very competitive market right now. It's probably more competitive now than it was pre-pandemic.
I keep jokingly ask, where'd everybody go? Everybody's got a theory, whether it's the unemployment or whatever it may be, but everybody's looking for somebody, Casey.
Absolutely. You know, an interesting statistic that I just ran across was that we had 4 million people quit their jobs in April.
4 million for whatever reason.
Yeah, for whatever reason. A lot of them are citing that, they're just not, they don't feel good about going back into the workforce with all the uncertainty in the world, even with the vaccine coming out. You know, I was just listening to your little news article talking about how Johnson & Johnson is actually putting a warning on their vaccine right now, right?
Exactly.
So there's just so much uncertainty. We just don't know what this is going to look like going forward.
And getting back to workplace, I love the term hybrid. A lot of companies are like, well, we're going to look at a hybrid model this fall, whatever to keep the employee happy. I'm guessing if you've already pointed this out with job offers, if employees ever had leverage, now's the time they've got leverage. Here's what I want. If you want me to do my job, here's what I need to do it.
Absolutely. I've worked with so many candidates lately that are like, if it's not 100% remote, I'm not interested.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the companies that are kind of going back old school that are wanting 100% in office, they are going to lose on that good talent.
Everything seems to go in cycles. Do you think, though, this is going to be a long-term trend, if you will, in the workplace?
I think depends on how you define long-term. I think we're going to see this for a few years to come, yes.
I mean, technology is helping us do this with Zoom and everything else, right?
Absolutely. And are you referring to the hybrid workplace?
Yeah. I mean, we want you in the office a day or two. Can you come in for a meeting on Mondays? Will you please stop by at least? Something like that.
I absolutely think that this has revolutionized the way our work environment looks.
For managers listening this morning, driving in, Casey, you've got to react. You've got to know what your employees want. But look, the bottom line is always the bottom line. I mean, there still has to be some structure to the work day, doesn't there?
There does have to be some structure, but I think that structure looks different. You know, what is that structure like now? Is it just that you log in the morning from your home? Or do you actually have to be face-to-face, butt in a seat in an office? What is that structure going to look like? It's definitely going to be defined differently going forward.
Get you out here on some advice. You to a manager or someone looking this morning, what are you telling clients? What are you telling people?
So as clients, those are the people that are hiring in my world. I'm telling them, don't waste time. I just had a recent episode where a client took a week to make an offer and they lost a candidate and they were devastated. And they were like, just go back. He's already signed an offer with another company, but try to get him. And we're like, no, we don't do that. So, if you find somebody that you like, don't waste time, trying to see if they're a perfect fit. It's better to go ahead and extend that offer and then work it out on the other side.
Interesting time right now. Casey Haston, again, the website. Check out We Are VIP podcast and her website as well, CaseyHaston.com, as we linked up to this morning on Twitter, too. Casey, thanks much. Good advice. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
AM 1100.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
We're on tech and trying to get your Alexa, your Siri, your Google Assistant, or the next time you dial a number and they've got one of those, automated systems that you're trying to talk to. Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, with a few tips for us this morning. Derek, good morning. Can you hear me okay, first of all?
Yeah, we've all had that experience, Bill, where you're trying to get your little personal assistant to listen to you, and you say the same thing a few different times and start getting a little bit angry with it.
You followed Derek on Twitter at Agent3012. We linked up to the story. You can walk through some of these different tips and settings. So let's just highlight a couple of things. The technology is amazing. I don't want to take it for granted. One of the things, though, and you posted in the story or the story at USA Today was, when you're talking to an assistant, an Alexa, Siri, a Google, watch your tone, first of all. I mean,
your wife or your kids might, you know, say back to you, you know, don't talk to me that way. But the tone is one of the things that the computer chip really picks up on, right?
Well, it's not just the tone. You're really not going to hurt the personal assistant's feelings. It's just more the fact that, you know, if you're yelling at it, you know, especially if you're, say, across the room and you're trying to yell at it so that it can hear you, sometimes that the way that your voice is carried through changes the pitch. It just doesn't recognize it the same. Also, sometimes if you're literally too loud, it's just too much for the microphone on the device, and it will start cutting out, so it doesn't really recognize that. So you just want to really go ahead and talk in a normal volume where possible. Basically treat it just like you were talking to a friend or family member.
Speaking of the microphone, a lot of people have these things sitting on their desk or a counter or something. Amazon actually suggests about eight inches, I think, in to make sure there's free space around it, right?
Yeah, you want to have it, you know, especially just away from, you know, away from the wall. That way you don't have echoes really confusing it. And also, you know, like you said, some people will have it on one of those side tables next to a couch. Sometimes you may want to even just make sure that it's raised up so that you can see it. That way you just have, you know, a more direct connection with your voice. These things usually have multiple microphones, so they're actually really good at picking up your voice, even from across the room. But, you know, you just want to give it every chance and opportunity to be able to hear you clearly.
Trying to make it less frustrating as we're talking to AI, Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, with a few tips. And as I am talking to you, I think sometimes we think that will help that assistant pick up what I'm saying if I'm talking like this, but it doesn't, right?
You do want to talk like a normal person, and also just really actually go ahead and use full sentences when you're talking to it. Some people will try things like Alexa alarm 7. It's better to say Alexa set an alarm for 7 in the morning. You know, giving it the full sentence gives it the context. These devices, the AI on them, it actually learns better and figures out exactly what you want to do based off of that context, just because there are so many different things you may want to do. So, again, just talk to it as if you were talking to a regular person.
All right, a couple other tips here. Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, with us talking about talking to AI when it comes to technology. Make your smart assistant smarter. What do you mean by that?
Well, sometimes the device will ask you for clarification about something you said. I know that can be a little bit frustrating, but go ahead and just let it know. You know, just go through and answer those questions. Another thing, for example, with some of the devices, for example, Siri, if it says a name wrong when it tells you that you have an incoming message, you can literally tell it you pronounced it wrong, and it'll allow you to tell it exactly how to pronounce somebody's name on your phone.
And finally, and I suggest you get with on Twitter, Agent3012. Derek's got the article with the link here. When you got your assistant and you turned it on, set it up, did you actually go in and set anything? There's a lot of different apps and things you really should look at that'll help with your profile to where you can use it even better, right?
Yeah, for example, you know, with when you buy that Amazon Echo or Echo Dot, usually it'll tell you to go ahead and bring up that Alexa app or the Google Assistant, Google Home app for those. Within those, you can actually go in under the settings, look under the profiles. Some of them will actually allow you to go through some example voice prompts so that it can learn your voice. The Amazon Alexa, for example, can even recognize up to 6 different people. You can create individual voices for all of your family members. This is really great if you have, say, a family member that has a foreign accent or a child at a little bit different levels of language development. Really great way for it to adjust to those different voices. If Siri is having problems with your voice, you can actually go into the settings, turn off the Hey Siri setting and turn it back on, and it'll go through an on-screen setup to help retrain it to your individual voice. Sometimes, you know, obviously our voices do change over time, so it's
sure.
Not, you know, if you're just having problems, go ahead and just redo that, reset it, or just even look through the settings. Another thing that can happen is under those settings, you can turn up or turn down the sensitivity. I know that some people will have multiple of these devices, you know, multiple Google systems in different rooms, and then the one that's in a completely different room just happens to hear you, and you want to be talking to the local one, you can turn the individual settings sensitivity up or down so that you're talking to the correct one and the correct one is responding to.
Good tip. Agent Derek Meister, Geek at the Geek Squad. Follow him on Twitter, Agent3012. He's linked up to where you can follow those instructions to where you get a better use out of your assistant that you are using on your AI. Derek, good stuff as always. Thanks much.
Thank you.
News you can use. News about your money.
War on your money. Wall Street yesterday up 126 for the Dow. Futures look mixed for the 9:30 open. This is Bill Wills. Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com, with me on a money tip this morning. Hi, Jordan.
Good morning, Bill.
Okay, trend. It looks like we are borrowing an awful lot of money here.
Yes, we are. The latest numbers, the total amount of consumer debt went up 39% for the latest month over a year ago. That's personal loans. That's credit cards. That's auto loans. When people feel better and start going out, they start borrowing.
So this is good news for the economy, you're telling me?
Well, certainly. It's people borrowing to buy things. And even more so, subprime people are getting loans that a year ago they would not have gotten. In credit cards alone, there were 1.4 million credit cards given to subprime borrowers in the latest month, up 28% from last year. And subprime auto loans, 602,000 were made, up 31% from a year ago. So, yes, people who a year ago could not have gotten credit are getting it today.
All right, a couple things. That subprime kind of scares me. We got in trouble before on the mortgage front. And a year ago when you and I would visit, we were paying off debt, weren't we?
That's correct. Yeah. During the pandemic, people weren't spending. They were saving. They didn't have anything to spend it on because they were at home, basically. So, yes, we were paying off debt, which is in certain way a good thing, but it certainly means the economy was depressed. One of the reasons the economy is doing so well now is people are having the credit they need, and they're going out and spending like crazy.
Give me a tip then on this. How can I save some money through Money Answers?
The credit card side, if you're going to go spend, at least get some decent credit cards. You don't have to pay ridiculously high interest rates. I've got a website at MoneyAnswers.com called MyGuideToCreditCards.com that can get you the best deals on credit cards with better interest rates and frequent flyer miles and bonuses of all type. And then on student loans, which continues to surge, you can refinance your student loans to about 2% these days, something like that. A website I've got is what's called Splash Financial. It's actually based in Cleveland. Splashfinancial.com. You can refinance your student loans. People going into an awful lot of debt, they at least want to pay lower interest rates still.
Jordan Goodman, he is at MoneyAnswers.com. Great site with more content, information, and also good about responding. If you get an email or question, you can always email him that way through what? Through MoneyAnswers.com. Jordan Goodman. Follow him on Twitter, too. Jordan, thanks much.
Thank you, Bill.
And mentioned Harrison Ford, birthday today.
I didn't kill my wife! I don't care!
Great scene from The Fugitive. Great movie. 8:56, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. You a Tom Petty fan? Been to the Rock Hall lately? Here's a reason to go. Rock Hall's installed Tom Petty's electric guitar in the outfit during his Super Bowl performance, the biggest show on turf, the 55 years of halftime shows he did. 100 million people watched. That performance was nominated for an Emmy. And the Rock Hall's got the 1964 Rickenbacker guitar that he used, that he bought back in 2007. The guitar also has Petty's outfit. They're showing it with the yellow shirt and that polka dot scarf and the dark suit at the Rock Hall. By the way, Rock Hall's open till 5, but they extend the hours Thursday, Friday, Saturdays till 8 o'clock in summertime. All right, back in the morning at 5, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We'll plug you into what's going on tomorrow morning. Thanks for being here.
Stand my ground, and I want.